Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
It is beautiful and amazing. I've been having lots of conversation, especially with my clergy calling friends, that Easter Sunday falls on April Fool's Day. There have been a number of suggestions from members of this congregation about things that we can do to celebrate Easter on April Fool's Day. I thought about joking as if I were on the phone with my boss when I came out for the sermon and then joking that it was God who was calling, telling me a joke. But I didn't do that. One of our members suggested that we take, you know, a bunch of grapes, green grapes, red grapes, whatever, and wrap them tightly in tinfoil so they look like the little chocolate eggs. But we didn't do that either. Because as fun and joyous as that is, there's also a lot that we can learn. But I think that we can learn while we have some fun. I got to tell you, like, I'm super excited about Easter Sunday, and I might be a little energetic this morning. And so to help temper that a little bit, we'll start with a history lesson. Why, he says. But here's the thing. So we just had an Easter egg hunt. I talked about the tradition of the little chocolate eggs that are wrapped tightly in tinfoil. But I thought it might be interesting to explore, like, where does that come from? Where does that tradition of Easter eggs come from? Like, that might be a helpful thing, and that might help me calm down a little bit. Okay, all right. Good. So you may not know this story. This is a story, really it's more of a legend. It's not in our Bibles. It's a legend that comes out of the Eastern Orthodox tradition. And I was recently reminded about this tradition because Tim Adams, who's back there, Tim is a internationally known scholar on the works of Carl Fabergé's Imperial Easter Eggs. Really, he knows all of Fabergé's stuff. He's a specialist in Fabergé, a great deal of knowledge on art history. But he did this presentation, and he reminded me of this story out of the Eastern Orthodox tradition that is where we think that we as Christians have this Easter egg tradition. So here's how the story goes, and we have a painting that sort of depicts this a little bit. This is a fresco in St. Mary Magdalene Russian Orthodox Church. It's in Jerusalem near the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. If all those big words sound familiar to you, great. If they don't sound familiar to you, they're near where Jesus was. Okay, all right. So this is this fresco, and the people portrayed it. The people portrayed in this, the woman in white is supposed to be Mary Magdalene. That's who's portrayed in this. And the person on the throne is Emperor Tiberius, who in the time of Jesus was known simply as Caesar. Okay, so this is the emperor who was in charge of Rome at the time that Jesus lived in and around Judea and Jerusalem. Okay, he's the one who Pontius Pilate answered to. Okay, so after Jesus died and after Jesus was resurrected, we'll read that scripture in a minute, Mary Magdalene went to Emperor Tiberius, and she said, I want to tell you what your guy Pilate did, and I want to tell you how bad it is, but also what happened afterwards. And she begins to tell this story about Jesus, his incarnation, his presence, his teachings, his death, and his resurrection. And she says, now Pilate put him on a cross and killed him, but a few days later, he came back. And Tiberius' response is, she was using an egg as an illustration of new life. We often think about, well, that's where the Easter egg tradition came from. Early Christians were sort of pirating the spring equinox kind of thing, right? Maybe not. So she uses this egg as an illustration of new life, right? Because it comes out of a chicken, and it doesn't really look very alive, but then, you know what? A chicken comes out of it. It's beautiful, right? It's this great illustration of life that seems still and then bursts forth. So she uses this egg that she has in her hand as an illustration, and Tiberius says to her, Jesus didn't so much come alive as that egg is red. And the way the legend goes is as she was holding this egg up in front of the emperor in her hand, it turned red. Ooh. Kind of spooky fun. I don't know if that happened. This is just a legend, but maybe. But this is where our tradition of Easter eggs comes from. Now, another member of this congregation told me this beautiful way that we live out this Easter egg tradition. And Bill, we have a few slides that I'd like you to just cycle through. These are Easter eggs that are a tradition in Transylvania. You see, Transylvania isn't only known for long teeth. So there's these Easter eggs, and we can keep cycling through, where people take and make these beautiful and ornate Easter eggs, and then here's what they do with these Easter eggs. They keep them by their front door. And then when somebody comes to visit you at your house, they bring an egg, and they give it to you, and you, in return, you give them one of your eggs. And this happens in sort of the season before Easter until it gets to the Easter celebration and what each home is left with as they've had various visitors come to their house is an Easter basket that might look something like this next image. All this variety and diversity and beauty. Isn't that beautiful? If you ever go to Transylvania, participate in this. Like, I don't know if that's in your plans, but if you do, you got to do this. It sounds amazing. And one of the things that I take from this, not only is this gorgeous tradition that comes out of Transylvania, not only this gorgeous tradition that comes from this historical thing, but one of the things that I get from this is the beauty that takes place when we are vulnerable. And let me tell you what I think about that. You see, I think when somebody spends time and energy creating something artistic, creating something academic, creating something at all, when people take the time and energy to put something together that is at its core a representative of our authentic selves, I think when we share ourselves in that way, we create beauty. And when we share those things with others, we are taking that opportunity to share the beauty of what I identify as God's amazing and diverse creation. I think it's a fantastic tradition, and it's representative of a struggle that many people go through to sharing their authentic selves. But when people have the courage to do that, to share their authentic selves, we get to see that beauty, and we get to experience that beauty, and we get to be changed by that beauty. The problem is there are too many times when those voices are silenced. The problem is there are too many times when people are told that sharing their authentic selves isn't right, is somehow bad for the world. And I got to tell you, my friends, I just disagree with that. I think that when we can be our authentic selves, when we can be emptied of the fear and filled with courage to share who we are at our core, the world is more beautiful and, frankly, more like the image of God in which we've been created. Now, I want to talk a little bit about where sort of I'm coming from with this, and I think with all things, it's good to start with Scripture, and our Scripture today is likely familiar. It's from the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to ask Emily to read the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Now, something that's interesting about the Gospel of Mark, number one, if you don't know this, the Gospel of Mark is the shortest gospel, okay? And most academics will agree that it's the first one written, okay? But according to the Gospel of Mark, that's it. That's the end of the story, at least in terms of some manuscripts. And it seems a little bit odd that ends with this idea that Mary, and Salome were overcome with terror and dread. They fled from the tomb and said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. My friends, if that sentence were true, none of us would be here because we wouldn't know about Easter. I mean, can we agree to that? If they never said a word to anybody, would we be here celebrating Easter? I submit that it's unlikely. Like, maybe word would have got out. But my friends, these are the first women preachers. Mary, and Salome are the first women preachers in the Christian tradition. Now, what has happened since then? Women's voices have in many ways been silenced in the church. Women's voices in many ways have been silenced in the church. We might take that scripture from Paul out of context that says women shouldn't teach in the church. We might remember an early pope who identified Mary Magdalene as a prostitute when scripturally those are two different stories. Women's voices have been marginalized as preachers. When I got to tell you, my personal experience, the best preachers I know are women. The best pastors I know are women. And yet these voices have been marginalized. Now, I said to you that this is where the Gospel of Mark ends, and it's interesting because not all early Mark manuscripts agree. Many of them end on this verse, but many of them have extra verses that aren't in other manuscripts. And here's a couple of verses that are supposed to be, like, it says here in my Bible, endings added later. And I don't know what that means, but I just know that in other manuscripts, there were some additional verses. And here's something that follows immediately with where we ended. Okay, it says, after Jesus rose up early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to the ones who'd been with him who were mourning and weeping. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Do you see how important she is to the Christian tradition? Other gospels talk about Mary Magdalene too. In fact, in every single one of the gospels, in all four of the gospels, those to see and understand Jesus' resurrection first were women. Thank God for these first women preachers. But according to this text, according to this Gospel of Mark, they were terrified. Can you imagine the fear? And can you imagine that they were so filled with hope that Jesus had been resurrected, that Jesus was no longer dead, that Jesus had conquered death and conquered their own fear, so that in spite of their fear, they were willing to use their voices anyway, to go to Peter, to go to the disciples, to say, there's good news. It's not the end. The light has conquered the darkness. There is more to this than what we've seen hanging on a cross. There is beauty and light and life resurrected. My friends, this is the cornerstone of the faith, of the Christian faith. This is our cornerstone as people who identify as some kind of faithful person. This is our cornerstone, that we might understand that Christ's death and resurrection means that we don't have to worry about death and resurrection. We don't have to worry about fear because there is hope. There is hope in Christ's conquering of death. My friends, just as the tomb is empty, so can our fears be. And so, what do we do with it? My friends, whether we think about these early women preachers and the ways that their voices were silenced, we might remember that there are voices that are being silenced today. You may know that yesterday was a celebration of Trans Day of Visibility. People who, at the core of who they absolutely are, have an opportunity to share themselves as authentic human beings, whether they identify as male or female or somewhere non-binary, somewhere in transition, a day when people get to say, this is who I am, and face that, take the courage to face all the jeers and all the jokes and all the questions and all the prejudices and stand up and say, this is who I am. We might see this continuing with women today who are having the courage to stand up and say, me too. have the courage to say, I have faced harmful words and harmful actions, and I will not put up with it again. This is a day where our gay and lesbian and bisexual friends have their voices silenced and yet have the courage to stand up and say, it gets better. Not because my life was easy, but because I've been through it and I can say it gets better. Voices are being silenced and yet we must choose to listen. Voices of students proclaiming enough is enough. Not because there is any desire to take away the rights of law-abiding citizens, but simply to say, my friends are being killed, and we have to talk about this in helpful and positive and respectful ways. Because enough is enough. Voices are being silenced, and yet we have the opportunity to choose to listen and participate in conversation. Voices are being silenced, sometimes voices that proclaim that black lives matter, not because black lives are more important than other lives, but when a culture of people are marginalized, it's important to be able to have the freedom to say that I matter too. And it takes courage, and it takes energy, but it also takes ears that are willing to listen. And so what I wish to leave you with this Easter Sunday, this time of celebration, this time of celebrating Jesus, not only conquering death, but emptying out the tomb so that we may no longer be subject to death, we may no longer be subject to fear, is that we have the freedom to live out our authentic selves, to speak our authentic voice, but also to listen to the authentic voices that are shared. Because just as the tradition of eggs in Transylvania, when we share our authenticity, when we share who we are at our core, we come more close to sharing, to showing the beauty, the diversity of God's great creation. Showing the beauty of living as the image of God. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to join me in an attitude of prayer. Most gracious and most loving God, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, just overjoyed. Lord, hearts full and celebrating today the resurrection of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, celebrating the work that Jesus was able to do while he was on earth, how he transformed the very context of his own situation, how he inspired, Lord, his disciples and many of those who came after him to change the world. And indeed, we are gathered here today, Lord, because of those women and men, Lord, who believed in his message of faith, of hope, of love, a transformational love, Lord, that can bring peace to a broken world. And Lord, so for this, we say thank you. We thank you for your Son. And yet, Lord, we know that in those moments, perhaps leading up to this resurrection celebration, in those moments, Lord, when we are approaching the empty tomb, we too have fear. There are moments in our faith journeys, Lord, where we are afraid to know who we are, to admit who we are, Lord, or afraid to listen to others, that there are some fears that have wrapped up inside of us that are perhaps choking us, Lord, and limiting us from being who you have called us to become. Lord, limiting us from hearing others and allowing them to be who you called them to become. Lord, we confess this and we ask, Lord, for your Spirit to work within us, to move us in such a way that we can overcome such fear. Lord, we can cast this fear aside, Lord, and place our hope in your Son, Jesus, and place our hope in the power of his Spirit. That, Lord, that it could move within us. Lord, that it can inspire us. Lord, that it can give us the courage to be the children of God you have called us to be. Lord, we lift up the prayers of our own particular community, of those in this space. Lord, all these things, we ask that you would keep us mindful of the ways in which you have called us to live according to your Son, Jesus, who taught us the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.